welcome to Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
Well, everyone, the show almost didn't happen this week because we've been so busy taking BuzzFeed quizzes. we almost forgot to record.
I just needed Sorry. To
We
know.
Sat down. We sat down, we talked about the show, and then we all got distracted.
Well, I had the startling revelation today because Riley told me that she took a quiz to find out what Spice Girl she was, and she found out she was Baby Spice, and she thought that suited her. And I was like, well, I gotta know which one I am. And I kind of assumed maybe Ginger, possibly Scary. And I also got Baby Spice, and I felt very confused about, like, who I am and my understanding of myself.
And the Spice Girls.
Yeah, I got Sporty Spice, but I feel like I'm okay with that. Like, I would have been, like, psyched to get a Scary or a Ginger, because I think we could all agree those are the ones you want to be. Like, those are the cool ones. But I get Sporty. Like, I get it. I've worn some track pants in my day. I like my midriff.
I think Sporty's a good one. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a Baby Spice. It just isn't congruent with who I thought I was.
I feel like I'm fine with Baby Spice. I feel like that's probably about right.
What kind of deep inner nature did this reveal about you, Sid, that it pulled out Baby Spice from you?
I don't know that I'm much more like Riley than I realized.
And
I
then it was revealed later that you were even more like Riley than you thought when we took a quiz to find out which Powerpuff Girl you were. And I have long assumed that the three of us are very similar to the three Powerpuff Girls, I being Bubbles, Sydney being Blossom, and Taylor being Buttercup. But turns out I am Bubbles as thought, but Sydney is also Bubbles.
Maybe I just want to be a cool teen like you, and so I'm trying to emulate you.
You guys are just super similar, maybe. Like, maybe that's it.
And then didn't you find out you're also a Ravenclaw?
I'm going to dispute this forever. Even the Pottermore quiz told me I was a Gryffindor, and then that Time magazine came out with that quiz, and I took it, and it said I was a Ravenclaw, mostly. Like, the Gryffindor's close, but it said I was a Ravenclaw, and that, nothing wrong with that. It just totally, like, I don't know who I am, I guess. Don't know who I am anymore.
You're me.
I've lost all sense of what Sydney is or who she could be or her place.
Hey, just look across this table. Hey, it's me. Hello. That's who you are now.
I'm feeling very sleepy, I guess. I am getting sleepier.
You know, I think we can question the scientific of a lot of these quizzes, because I do remember that one of the first questions on the Spice Girl quiz was you just chose a word, and those words were like cowabunga, loofah, dingus. Like, I don't know what, like, deep Freudian psychology. I picked dingus, by the way. I don't know what that means. Or poinsettia. Poinsettia was one too. Like, I don't know what these words are, but depending on which one you pick, that's your Spice Girl. So maybe it's not that you don't judge yourself too harshly, Sid. Like, I don't know how solid this science is.
That's fair, because I also found a BuzzFeed quiz. I think it's my favorite ever, which was based on, we're going to ask you some questions about donuts, and based on your answers, we'll tell you if you're Harry, Ron, or Hermione.
Well, who'd you get?
Well, I was Harry Potter, which I don't really have, like, I didn't have, like, a preconceived notion of which one of the three I was. But, like, the reasons that it gave me for being Harry Potter were, like, you're courageous and brave and loyal. And
because you like these kinds of donuts.
Right, because I prefer custard filling.
Did you, like, because pick the donut that's behind some giant monster or something? Like, was that enough?
I don't know. Like, one was, like, which of these Instagram pictures
that's
of...
in peril. I don't know.
One was like, which of these Instagram pictures of donuts do you like the best? And I was like, well, this one has, this is look like voodoo donuts. They've got all toppings. I like these. Ooh, like, how is that like Harry Potter?
I don't know. I apparently took the companion quiz where it was which Harry Potter character are you based on the coffee you like to drink. And I'm Dumbledore because I like, my wisdom is beyond my years. And so is my taste in coffee. So, all right.
Well, I took a quiz to find out which dessert matches my personality, And in case you're wondering, I am a donut.
Which is, do you feel like a donut?
I don't even like donuts, which I don't know what that says about me.
Well, it says you're not very bright.
Whoa.
Hey, now. Whoa, now. Donuts can be very sophisticated.
I just don't know why you wouldn't like donuts. They're delicious. I don't understand this about you. How can we be alike?
They're too sweet and too doughy for me to eat a whole donut. Like, give me one donut hole and I can probably eat it, but give me more than one, I'm just like, ugh, this is too much. This is supposed to be breakfast? I'm supposed to wake up and start my day with a gross feeling tummy full of dough and sugar?
That sounds like a perfect way to start your day. Yep, no, because you do that, then you go take a nap, and then you wake up, and that's an even better day. This is just an aside, but seeing as how we three ladies will be sharing a trip to Kings Island in the near future, as a vegan, I looked up some food options just to make sure that, like, I was curious, like, yeah, Kings Island, maybe. I didn't discover much to help me, but I did discover that there is a booth that does a donut grilled cheese, which is exactly what you think it is. It's a donut cut in half with cheese in the middle, and then they grill it. So
they do that at Kings Island?
They do that.
I would try that. I don't like donuts, and I will try that.
I will be eating this weekend.
So you can
for sure
make all your donut fantasies, Harry Potter donut fantasies, come true.
I think it's fair to say I used to. This is it, Riley. This is an inappropriate joke about donuts, and I hope it's not too racy for you.
Woo-hoo! I thought I was safe.
Inappropriate joke time
about Sydney.
Justin and I always used to say that donuts were sort of like unprotected sex, where before the donut, it seems like a really great idea, and you feel like this is going to be fine, and then right after the donut, you go, oh no, what did I do? This was a terrible idea. What have I done? Why didn't I know better? So I can see not being a fan of eating a donut first thing in the morning.
I tuned out most of that joke just because I didn't want to have to listen.
I like the joke.
Sorry. Though. Also, don't have unprotected sex.
Whoa, what was the joke?
Well, just that was my little side note. There's my public service announcement for the day.
Okay.
Protect yourself out there, kids.
Can we be done talking about this now?
Riley, I'll stop talking about this. But I'm going to make you tell us about something. Another safety concern
that I have. Sorry. Donut. Have unprotected sex. Go ahead.
Hey. I like that.
You know who's going to like that one? Dad.
Dad.
Please put that on a t-shirt.
No.
Well, like a little happy
do not do that.
Like smiling.
Could it be like holding a condom?
Yes. No. Smiling? Absolutely. It could be a donut holding hands with a condom. It's also smiling.
If you make this the next piece of merchandise that we produce, I'm leaving.
Although it could also just be you giving bad advice to a donut. Hey, donut, have unprotected sex.
I'm sorry,
donut. I'm sorry to all donuts. This has been very unfair to donuts in general. Let's move on.
I know. We haven't been very sensitive to donuts. No, we typically on this show, we pick a topic that we can talk about that is something that kind of exists now and then, and we can kind of compare and contrast.
Please continue explaining the entire premise of our show.
I noticed something on Facebook. It was like a post I saw on Facebook that somebody else I know reposted. I didn't know the person who actually made the little video. And it was like a very upset mom who was like, look at this on my daughter's phone. Look at this. And it was a teenage daughter explaining something that had popped up on her phone to her mother. And then the mother kind of like looking at the camera like, this is what's going on with your children. Like, check their phones. Aren't you terrified? And usually I think that those are a little dramatic, and I actually was terrified after I watched this Facebook video. Because it was about something called Snap Maps.
Yes.
Snap Map? Is it
Snap Map? I think Map singular.
Singular. So Riley, could you for this episode, this is more of like a teen tech update.
Here's a teen tech update for all you not teens. Here you go.
Yeah, tell us about Snap Map.
So basically, it was an update to Snapchat that was most recently added in the most recent update of Snapchat, like about a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Oh, so really recent.
Yeah, like it's super recent, like a week or two ago. So we're right on that trend.
Wow, I assumed that I was behind. No. I assumed that this is like something that's been going on for 6 months.
Well, no, we're right on that trend. Time.
Yeah. So basically, it's 2 years old.
Yeah.
But basically, it's where on your main screen of Snapchat, you can create a little Bitmoji character that makes you like a little cartoon character that you can like send funny pictures of on your Snapchats. And if you zoom out on your main screen of your Snapchat, it'll have a little map of like your actual area, like in the world. Mm-hmm. And it'll have your little Bitmoji character, like a little cartoon version of yourself standing exactly where you are, and all of your friends' Bitmoji characters standing exactly where they are on this large geographic map of the entire world.
Now, was this something that, like, you got an alert on your phone, like, Snap Map feature now enabled, your friends will know where you are at all times, please go here if you would like to disable this feature, something like that?
No. My phone does not automatically update just because sometimes I like my apps the way they are and I don't want to update them because I don't want to mess up the formats I've gotten used to. So like Twitter, I understand there's a new update with that is confusing.
I don't understand it at all. It's frustrated me to no end. My Twitter is now, yes.
I have not updated it because I don't want that. So I decided against it.
Smart move.
So that's why I don't automatically update my apps. So I can know what's going on in each update because when I go to update it, I actually read about what's going on so I can know whether I want it or not. So I read about the Snap update before I installed it, and it told me that there was a map function. So I updated it just because it was like I was updating most of my apps except for Twitter. Never going to update Twitter. And as soon as I installed it, I realized I wanted to turn it off. So I had to go to settings and turn on ghost mode so that I can see where all my friends' locations are still, but none of them can see where I am. But like if I wouldn't have read the update and it would have just automatically updated, it wouldn't have told me, like, hey, this is on here now.
So
do you think that every... Go ahead, Tay.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to clarify. People can see your exact location at all times if you have that mode on?
It's not, like, exact. Like, it doesn't show, like, street number or, like, anything like that, but it has, like, a general area. Like, specific enough to where you could tell if someone is like downtown all in one area together, like at the movies, or specific enough to tell like all these people are at the park, but no like specific house number or address or anything. It's not like Google Maps specific, it's more like few mile radius specific.
Like if you're at the mall, they would know you're at the mall.
Yeah.
Just not what store you're in or something. Yeah.
Or, like, if you're, like, across the street from the mall at a restaurant or actually in the mall, just that kind of area.
Do you think, like, your friends who have this, because you showed me before we started recording that you can see all your friends, do they know? Are they, or did they just, like, clip, like, they just automatically update their phones, so it's on there now? Do you think there are people who just have this on their phone, they're now visible to all their friends, and they have no idea?
I think most people, because you can only see someone on the Snap Map if they've updated it to where they also have it. So it's not like someone could have not updated their app and you can see where they are and they have no idea that it exists. But I think most people, it's become, a lot of people have been tweeting about it and Instagram, not Instagramming, that's not a place to do that. We've talked about this before. You don't talk about things like that on Instagram, but like tweeting about it or Facebooking about it.
Wait, why wouldn't you talk about things like that on Instagram?
Because it's not your place to talk about like... what's going on with your life. It's just a place to share cute pictures of yourself.
Oh, okay.
And you can only post one picture a day, Sydney, right?
Yes, thank you. Taylor.
Oh, okay. So you wouldn't want to waste
that. For being the one sister on this podcast who listens to what I talk about.
No, I understand what you talk about. I guess... We've
done like 3 episodes on this.
I know. I guess I was just thinking like, why couldn't you Instagram like a picture of the map and be like...
You don't Instagram screenshots from your phone?
I don't know. Okay, because you only get one a day, so you want to make it something
adorable. That's going to get in all the likes.
Okay.
But what if you have really charming conversation with one of your friends, as an example?
That goes on Twitter.
I need a hierarchy of, like, how relevant information is, and then, like, how many times you can post on different... Can you make that? Like, is it a flow chart?
I need to make, like, a dichotomous key for like classifying each type of media you want to post to show you where it should fit.
Oh yeah, like frequency and relevancy. Like how deep can I get? How often can I post? Just help me out because I think I do it wrong sometimes.
All right, no, let's talk about that because I bet that's like, you know, we talked about that before, but not in depth.
My understanding is that you don't put anything on Facebook because none of you teens are there.
Yes. The only thing I use Facebook for anymore is our theater group that tells us, like, about shows and rehearsals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's it.
So, Facebook's out.
Yes.
Twitter is for...
nearly everything. I'd say it's my most used social media just because you can, like, tweet at people. You can tweet little specific things. You can put pictures on there that, like, if you want to post multiple pictures on Instagram, but you can only post one, but you have a bunch you liked, but these are, like, your second favorite. Like, for example, from the show I was in, I wanted to post, like, six pictures all at once, but then I had my one favorite, so I posted my one favorite and posted the others on Twitter. Things like that. Or, like, a screenshot of, like, a conversation, like, a conversation you have with someone in person. Something like that you could post on there about the Snap Map, if you want to screenshot your Snap Map or something like that, mm-hmm. or say something about it. And Instagram is just for, like, the best pictures.
The ones that have elevated themselves to
art. The ones that have elevated themselves to art and also, you know, rake in all them likes.
Well, so what if somebody is posting too frequently on Instagram? Like, is that a faux pas that you, like, hold people accountable for? Like, how is that?
Honestly, I know what you mean. And honestly, for me, I don't care if people post multiple times a day. And when I'm saying these rules, this is going to make me sound like a terrible person saying all these rules to all of you who are using social media if you're not, like, doing it exactly the way that teens say you should do it. I don't care. Do whatever you want on social media. It's your social media. This is just, like, this is my disclaimer. This is what the general accepted use of social media is amongst my generation.
So will people, like, make fun of you or?
No, I've just always found, because I've posted multiple times in one day before. Not frequently, but I have once or twice, that you just don't get as many likes.
Ah.
Because now Instagram has changed its format to where you don't go, when you're scrolling through your feed, it doesn't go in order of, like, chronological order.
Oh, it doesn't?
It goes in order of, like,
right.
popularity. So you could be seeing a post at the top of your feed that's from, like, a day ago that has hundreds of likes, and then scroll down, and, like, 10 posts down, you'll see one from 5 minutes ago that has, like, 10.
Ah.
Right.
So it changed its format so where you don't see the most recent ones anymore first.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harder to get as many likes, honestly, just because when you update your feed, you're always getting something different almost just because it's updating it to what's becoming most popular among the people you follow instead of updating it to what was just most recently posted.
Which is similar. Like, I know Twitter has changed somewhat. It's still chronological, but then also stuff gets...
It has, like, the in case you missed it section. Yeah. That's, like, from hours ago, but it's all the most popular stuff from people you follow from a few hours ago.
Yeah.
Or people you interact with most that it thinks tweets you'd want to see.
That's very confusing for me. I use Twitter mainly for complaining about healthcare legislation that I think is wrong.
Right.
And that's... I think that's the main thing I do with Twitter.
Right.
So this is confusing for me.
I'm trying to think of, like a number one example of something that would fit into each social media. Like, okay, you have a funny conversation with your friend over text, or you see something funny that you want to take a picture of, or, you screenshot, like, something that made you angry, or you want to, like, complain about something, Twitter. Twitter has a very broad range of uses.
Which is funny, because I would have thought Facebook. Like, those are all things that I think were...
I guess you could apply those to Facebook, but just not Facebook for my generation, almost. Yeah, like, that's almost your generation of Facebook that would be the uses, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would say Twitter has the... Like, there are pictures I posted on Instagram before that I've also posted on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, I can post multiple, which I know you can now post multiple on Instagram, but I also don't know how I feel about that because only one of them shows up, like,
right.
on your feed. If you're scrolling through someone's profile, you can only see the first one. So it's like the other ones are kind of hidden. Instagram would be like, you go out and take a bunch of pictures with your friends and you're wearing, like, a cute outfit.
Right.
And you look really good in it. And you come up with some clever, witty caption.
Now, how will people use this? I know that this is not about like posting pictures and stuff, but how are people, do you think your friends are going to make use of this new feature, Snap Map?
I don't know what the point of it is. Like, I want someone to explain to me what the point was for an app that's just all about, like, because, I mean, when you think about it, Snapchat, really, it already tells you where someone's location is based on their story.
Right.
Because someone's posting something that's happened to them within the past 24 hours. So if you're watching their most recent story they posted 30 seconds ago and you see they're at, like, the park, you know they're at the park 30 seconds ago.
Well, but, like, the difference is, like, when you do that, you're making the choice to show people where you are.
Right.
When you allow people, when you allow Twitter to post your location, which it can, when you allow Facebook to post your location, which it can, mm-hmm. like, you're making the choice to share your location at that moment.
Right.
I mean, it's not hard to, I've never done it, so, like, now, I know it's not hard to opt out of it because it's not something that I do.
Yeah.
When you drop a pin and tell people where you are, like, you're doing that intentionally.
Yeah.
I think the difference is that this is not, it's now intentional in the sense that you didn't opt out of it, but it's not intent, like, you don't necessarily want people to know where you are all the time, so maybe you're just not thinking about who's looking at you at any given moment.
That's where I could see the point of this, not the point of it almost, but, like, the intent behind creating it. Because on Instagram, I don't know if you all know this or not, but it will sometimes tag your pictures and you can go to your profile and see a map of all your pictures. Mm-hmm. So it'll show you, like, here's all the pictures you've taken in this one city and mm-hmm. posted. Here's all the pictures you posted in this one area or this one place. And I can see that almost, because you're posting these pictures. Someone could probably tell where you are anyways. And I guess I could see where if someone is posting stories, it could show you on a map, like, where the story was, if that makes sense. Like, someone's mm-hmm. on vacations, like, they post a story here, and it shows you on your little Snap Map that they're in, like, New York or the beach or something mm-hmm. like that. Like, I guess that makes sense, but it would only show you the location for the length of the story. But I don't get to where, like, if someone doesn't post anything on Snapchat in weeks or months or, like, never uses Snapchat anymore, it would still show you their location all the time.
I don't know. I don't know the purpose of it except for to let teenagers, I mean, I know anybody can use it, but teens are using this technology. Yeah. To let teenagers look and see that all their friends are hanging out without them.
Yeah, which, like, Snapchat does anyways. Again, if, oh no, I'm true. Serious. Think about it. If you have if you have six friends who are all at the same party and they all post the same Snapchat story at the same exact time of the same thing that happened or the same person, like, they're all together and you know they're without you. You don't need to look at the map to know that.
Well,
It's different if someone posts an Instagram picture a few days later and you're like, oh, that person was at this thing at some time that is unknown.
I don't know. I see, I'm baffled as to why this exists, because it just sounds to me, it's very unsettling.
Yes.
As a parent, I don't have a teenager yet, but I certainly don't want Charlie having a device that her friends can access and know exactly, well, not exactly, but pretty much where she is at any given time, and her friends being defined as anybody that she has made friends with on a social media app.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they're not, you know, what it, IRL friends.
There you go.
Well,
go ahead.
It's just kind of interesting, because the only parallels I know for this, I don't do the Snapchats, but, like, there are certain dating apps that will show you people closer to you and give you where people are, which I find horrifying. Like, I don't think a qualification of getting to know someone is, like, how close are you right now to me? Like,
how many miles away are you?
Deal breaker, are you within 5 minutes? Like, that's not me. That's some people and that's cool, but that's not me. But then the other one is, like, the find your phone thing, which, you know, we've all heard those horror stories on, like, the news of, like, it seems great until you're like, oh no, my phone has clearly been taken by someone that would steal my phone, and now it's at their house. What do I do? Like, I don't, like, this technology seems to have some, even when they're kind of understood implications or uses, they're pretty scary in practice. Like, for the age demographic that uses Snapchat, it seems particularly horrifying to me.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I agree.
Again, I just, like, I don't get it. Like, when I go on Instagram and I look at, like, my map of pictures I posted, it's interesting mm-hmm. for me to see, like, oh, look at all these pictures I took while I was at the beach a few years ago, and, like, they're all on this map in this one location. are like, these are from multiple trips a few years apart, but they're all at the same place. Like, that's very cool to look at. And I chose to put these on Instagram and recognize that it would tag my location.
Mm-hmm.
And am aware of that. And their pictures, I also knew I was posting a specific time that wasn't necessarily right when I was there. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't post it the minute I was there. I could have posted it from a few weeks ago.
Sure.
But it's just, I don't post things on Snapchat that often. And I have people who have friended me on Snapchat because of the show. Because mm-hmm. I made a few months ago, I don't know if you all remember, we did our candle night show. Yeah. We did Snapchat.
Yeah.
I put out my Snapchat for people to add me so they could see the pictures we posted on my story. And I have mine set up to where everyone who friends me can see my stories, but I won't see theirs unless I friend them back.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, all these people that have friended me because of the show, which it may be some of you that are listening, if they have their Snap Map turned on, I can see on my Snap Map where all these people that I have no idea who they are, where they are all the time. They can't see me because I have mine turned off. But I can see people that I have no idea who you are, but you friended me because of this show, and I can see your location. Which, what? Like, I promise I'm not a stalker or a serial killer, but if I was, that would be terrifying for you.
Well, I mean, I was always one of those people, like, who was late to think about things like that, like, kind of naive. Not so much about this. This seems like an obviously bad idea. But, like,
yeah.
I remember somebody telling me once, you know, you should stop posting pictures of yourself on vacation on Facebook because it's like a big red flag saying, I'm not at my house, come rob me. And I had never really considered that. Like, oh, well, that's a good point. I guess, you know what? I guess maybe I shouldn't do that. So, I mean, I'm not the first person to think about these kinds of things, but this one just seems so obvious. Mm-hmm. Like,
I guess there's kind of a wider implication, Riley, and this is something that, I don't know, I think Sydney's and my generation was starting to experience, but we kind of dodged it, but it's all on you guys, and that's like the inability to be anonymous. I feel like we leave such an imprint now, where we are, what we do, what we say, who we're friends with. Like, there's an identity that represents you on the internet that is you to a certain extent, but it's not. Like, that, I don't know, like, that's a concept that you're growing up with that to me still kind of keeps me, like, wanting to keep the whole internet at arm's length.
No, I know what you mean. I like social media because, well, I mean, I'm a teen. but, I mean, I like being able to, like, share pictures that I like of myself or, like, share pictures of something I'm involved in. Like, I like being able to share these with people and say, look at this cool thing I'm doing. And, like, obviously, what we're doing right now wouldn't exist, basically, if there wasn't social media.
Sure.
And I think it's a great tool when you use it correctly. But I just think it's scary to me. I have to think a lot about what I post and when I post it or turning on location for certain things. Because I know there have been times where Twitter, it's like, it'll update and it'll reset some of my settings to where it'll go and start tagging my location on tweets. And I have to automatically go back and be like, I did not want it at my location. Like, anyone who listens to this podcast knows I live in Huntington.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know, if I go somewhere on a trip and it tells you, like, hey, now I'm in Cincinnati, I'm not at my house.
Well, and I mean, the scarier thing is, like, technology that's gonna, again, and I'm kind of talking from, like, a parent perspective, I would love the idea of something like as a mom, something like Find My Friends for my kid.
Right. Where, mom uses it for me.
Right. I can force my child to say, listen, if you want to drive your car around on your own, like a big girl or boy, if you want to drive around like a grown up, you're going to turn this on your phone and I'm going to know where you are all the time.
Yeah.
Because that way, if you don't come home when you're supposed to, or if I call and you don't answer, I can check and make sure you're safe.
Yeah.
And that would be my whole reason. The last thing I would want is anyone else to have access to that information,
right?
Because you are out on your own sometimes. You are going to stores or fast food places or, you know, the mall or whatever you're doing by yourself. You're out driving places at night by yourself. Who wants random people to have access to that information in real time at the moment?
And nothing on technology is like completely secret or safe. Like, there's always a way someone can figure out how to get into your phone or get into your accounts. I mean, I'm sure there's some way someone can get into your Find My Friends account. I mean, all you need is a login to your Find My Friends and automatically it'll tell you where all your friends are that have accepted your location, where all of them are. There's some way to do that people who are smart enough figure it out. Like, anything you share on through technology is always open to someone else having it.
Well, and I don't know about anybody else, but I constantly have a broken cell phone. Like, I always have the Spider-Man edition cracked screen. and I also usually keep my phone in my back pocket. More so than butt dialing, my phone has turned on my location on people, like random people in my address book before. I look like, why am I sharing where I am with like a coworker from four years ago? Like, why am I doing that? Like, butt dialing no longer the scariest thing, but telling people where you are physically at the moment. It's
but telling people where you physically are at the moment.
I don't want you to know where I am, but my butt definitely does. It's also ordered cars. I don't know.
See, that's really terrifying because, I mean, I don't know. I just don't. There's something about this. We have forced kind of all of us, but more so your generation because you've grown up with it, to, like you were already saying, Taylor, to kind of live constantly under the watch of everybody else. Like, everything you do is being broadcast, usually by yourself, but also by your friends,
right?
You know, on social media. And I think that on one hand, it creates this sense that, like, you have no privacy. Nothing that you do is, like you said, you can't keep anything secret. Everything is open for everybody to see all the time. But I think it also demands that you continue to be a part of it, because mm-hmm. that is the community now.
Right. I mean, I definitely get what you're saying, because I think about, like, I meet someone new at school that's, like, new there that year, or that I have a class with that I've never talked to before. I'm going to be honest, one of the first things I do when I meet someone, whether it's at school or whether it's through, like, theater, I look them up on Instagram and Twitter. Like, I wonder if this person has an account. Like, one, I'll follow them if they do, because now we're friends and now mm-hmm. I know this person. Two, I kind of want to know what this person, like, you know, what are they into? What do they do? And if that makes me creepy, I guarantee most people do that also. I don't know if you all have ever done that before, but, like, you meet someone for the first time and you're like, I'm either going to friend this person on Facebook or I'm going to follow them on Instagram. I guarantee you more people do it in my generation than will say they do. I'll gladly admit it. If I meet you in person and I think you're cool, I'll look you up on Instagram.
See, that is interesting, because I would say it's rare that I do that, unless, like, I've met somebody and, like, I know, you know, this is a friend's new girlfriend or something. Mm-hmm. And so, like, they're going to be a sustained part of my life.
Right.
Like, I would go through the effort of, like, friending them or something. But just typically random people that I meet that are new, I wouldn't seek out on social media to friend. I wouldn't think about it, you know.
Taylor, do you do that?
I don't personally do that, but I've worked at places in the past where, like, bosses will pull up people's social media from applications to mm-hmm. so, you know, like, you're whatever you put out there, you can't assume you can control who or how it gets judged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's, I don't know, I guess that's kind of the scary thing to me. It's like, you know, you throw off a random tweet, you post a random picture, you don't connect the dots into saying, this is me, these are just fun things I do. But that the rest of the world has this weird filter where it's seeing this as you. This is the inside intel they're getting on you. It's not you as a person. Like you just said, you meet somebody, you don't know them, you're going to go to their social media to try to figure out things about them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's you more than what someone's going to invest in getting to know you, which is weird.
Yeah. And I mean, even you were talking about you kind of have to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. It also, to me, says something about a person if I look them up on social media and they don't exist on social media, mm-hmm. like they don't have an Instagram or a Twitter, especially not someone who's of your all's generation necessarily, like someone I meet through theater who's like an adult. I'm like, okay, that's normal. But someone mm-hmm. who like is my age that I go to school with. But if they have an account and they haven't posted something in like years, or if that is a certain type of person to me, or if they have something and they're posting a lot of things that I personally don't agree with, then I'm gonna be real. I'm more likely to like not wanna associate with that person. Like I'll meet someone through school, through friends, and I'll look on their Twitter and they're posting a lot of like offensive things or things I just personally don't also believe. And then mm-hmm. I'm like, nah, never mind.
I was watching some horrible teen movie that, like, Riley, you probably have heard of or will eventually hear of, like, You Get Me. It's a Netflix horror movie. Uh-huh. And there was a plot point that was legitimately that this girl that everybody was suspicious about didn't have a social media background. And that was a scary plot point about somebody, like, to be a teen and you're doing, yeah. Or like on Catfish, whenever they're trying to prove people are real, if somebody's not updating or on various platforms, it's kind of immediately assumed they're not a real person. That's a weird mm-hmm. thing that we do now.
Yeah. And I mean, it being like involved in a horror movie, obviously is an exaggeration, but like, yeah, if I look someone up on social media, I see they don't exist. I'm like, there has to be a reason this person doesn't have social media. There's not never like, there has to be a reason this person has such an updated Instagram account. Like, I just think like, oh yeah, they're on Instagram. Like, no, there has to be a reason this person doesn't have an Instagram account. Like, what are they trying to hide? What do they not want to share with the rest of the world?
And, you know, I think we're talking a lot about the negatives of this, and I was trying to think, like, is there a positive side to this? Because I don't want to be so old that I can't, that I just reject new technology outright. The snap map thing, I still don't have anything
for. I don't have any positive.
No, I don't have any positives for that. but for this concept of kind of living constantly under the public eye, like seeing other people all the time, I will say this. I was trying to think, you know, when we were teenagers, how did I know where my friends were? What was happening? What was the get together? What party? What was the plan? What were the weekend? Whatever. The way that I would know is if I knew, somebody would tell me or call me, or they'd tell me at school before the weekend or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because we weren't, I mean, this was before texting. So right. If you were going to find out, you either had to be told or make the effort of picking up a telephone, dialing a number, and cold calling somebody who you thought was in the know and asking,
what's the party spot?
Yeah. And hoping that then, one, they would know, and two, they would tell you.
Yeah.
Because you're cool enough to get to go. And that's like, that was this huge intimidating thing that left me many weekends sitting at home terrified, when I probably could have just at school, like the Friday before, said, hey, you guys getting anything this weekend? And I don't think I was such a loser that somebody wouldn't have said, yeah, we were going to go, whatever, you're welcome to come. Yeah. Like, I probably could have.
Yeah.
I probably could have. But that barrier was so huge to me that I couldn't, like, in person and on the phone, I couldn't cross it. If I had had something like a text message or, like, I don't know, Snapchat or whatever, something like that, that would have been less direct, that would have provided me with a little bit of internet cover, and I could be a little more bold. Mm-hmm. Would I have been felt more included? Would I have found, like, the little niches that I could belong in? The small collections of people that it was harder to coalesce back in the day because you couldn't find your people necessarily, but maybe it's easier to find those people now who mm-hmm. are like-minded and share your thoughts and your feelings and your interests. And I don't know, maybe that's easier too.
I will say about that, I feel like when there is all of this social media and there's such an open line of communication between you and anyone you know at any point, there's more of a pressure to always be going out of your way to become included in things, or like invite people to do things, or ask if someone wants to do something, just because, like, I know we're halfway through the summer and I've not hung out with anyone from school except for one person because I just, like, and I see them hanging out together on social media all the time, mm-hmm. and I'm not necessarily mad about it, just because, like, I know if I texted them and said, hey, want to hang out, they wouldn't be like, no, never, I don't want to hang out with you. They'd be like, okay, sure, when? But I also am not going out of my way to do that, so it's kind of like a two-way street, just because yes, people are posting about it and doing things, but also I'm sure those people have talked and asked each other to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dangerous because you look online and you see all these people hanging out, and you can either get really mad at people and not tell them you're mad at them, and they assume there's no reason you're mad at them because they didn't hang out with you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can decide, like, I'm going to go out of my way to hang out with these people, and they will. But it's just, like, having such an open form of communication with all people at all times, it's kind of, there's a pressure on you to make yourself a presence, or else someone else will find someone else to be with.
I do have to say, I do think the idea of a select group of people knowing where you are at all times, and Sydney, like you said, like, as a mother, like, I think that idea is great. Like, assuming that's a very select group of people. I mean, this is anecdotal, but I know, like, a year ago, I got dumped, and I was out at a bar in the middle of, like, a neighborhood that's far from where I live, and my best friend, the only person I've chosen with my brain and not my butt to do on Find My Friends, she had my location, and I, like, called her falling apart and, like, was being dramatic and hung up the phone. She showed up because she could find me. And so I get, like, having people that you trust and that you... Because we all get to those, you know, we all can possibly end up in situations that, you know, it's important that someone can... It's an amazing thing that technology can do, where we can locate the people that we need to be able to locate at all times.
Yeah.
It's a select map of people.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I will admit that Find My Friends, largely for me, tells me how much longer it's going to be till Justin gets back with dinner. I'd say that.
My most recent use of Find My Friends was to locate Dad to see how long it would be before he got back to the house with dinner.
Yeah.
So.
And to see, is Mom still at Walmart? Oh my gosh, she's still
it's
at
been
Walmart.
4 hours, but she's definitely still there.
She's going to say, I was only there for a half an hour. I know better now.
Right.
But yeah, I think there are really practical uses for that kind of technology. I think it has to just be willful, because our definition of friends on the internet and our definition of friends in real life is not necessarily the same.
No,
and
for sure.
There are friends in your real life who I'm sure we all have somebody at least that we would trust with knowing where we are 24/7. Maybe we don't even
trust you all with knowing where I was 24/7.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, I hope so.
You're my sisters.
You didn't add me on Find My Friends.
You're on my Find My Friends.
Uh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
I know where you are.
Well, why don't I know where you are?
I don't know. Why don't you know where I am?
Well, we're going to fix that. You deleted the app because you said it took up too much whatever.
Dad was complaining about my data.
Ah. But it's back now?
It is. Dad got me unlimited data.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna get you back. But, like, I think we all have friends that, even if we necessarily don't always want them to know where we are, we wouldn't mind. We'd be fine with it. We'd be comfortable and we trust them. Yeah. But, I mean,
I know I've had my Instagram account for, like, 3 years, four years probably. Actually, probably longer than that. But there are people I friended then when I was in middle school that I met, like, once. Mm-hmm. That I was like, I'm going to follow you on Instagram. That a month ago I would have looked at a picture and been like, who is this person? I don't know this person at all. And if that was on Snapchat, which has been, I friended people on Snapchat that I met once. And then all of a sudden they can know where my location is. Like, I haven't talked to this person in years. And all of a sudden they know where I am all the time.
See, and I think especially, like, that is a good example. And then if you start to take this into not just friends, but into the romantic realm, into the dating realm. I mean, I think this gets really, it gets really uncomfortable for me. The idea that you would just start talking to somebody, you would exchange this information because that's what you do now. You don't give each other your phone numbers. You become Snapchat buddies or whatever. Yeah. I don't know, whatever you call
buddies.
It.
Buddies, exactly.
Snapchat buddies. And so now you have somebody that you barely know, who you have this attraction to and maybe share, that now knows where you are all the time.
Yeah, you've heard scary stories on the news or fiction that, like, you go on a few dates with someone and you decide, like, no, this is not going to work out. And they get mad and they, like, you know,
yeah,
stalk you or kill you. Exactly. And it's like all of a sudden this person you went on a few dates with, you have them on Snapchat and you decide not to date them anymore. But they're not too happy about that. And oh, look. They know exactly where you are all the time. Like, that's terrifying.
No, that's so true. It's almost a direct inversion of how, like, we used to meet people. Like, you'd meet someone face-to-face first, and then, you know, you'd gradually learn about that person. You know, where that person lives is kind of that last thing that you share. Or, like, you know, you kind of have to be pretty involved with somebody before you're going over to each other's houses. Whereas this, it's like, all in one swoop, you can find out. You know, you can be talking to somebody completely anonymously and they can know exactly where you are. That's terrifying. I don't know.
And you can know all about a person before you even, like, go on a date with them. Like, know their name and look them up on Instagram or Twitter and know, you know, if they keep up a profile, know everything about them and everything they've done in the past few years.
Well, you guys are held responsible for who you've been, like, 10, 15 years ago. Like, you know, like, from your earliest, like, presence.
My old Facebook. Back a few years ago on Facebook, you'll find an album entitled Rachel Berry, a.k.a. me, which is just a bunch of pictures of Rachel Berry because I was obsessed with her.
looks like I got Facebook came a thing when I was in college. That was like, you know, what was that, 2004 I got Facebook. And I was still like, should not be in control of the identity I will have for the rest of my life at that age. But I was. Like, I can't imagine for you guys growing up with it. Like, that's, the accountability goes so deep. It's terrifying.
I mean, I was on social media when I was old enough to be, which was when I was in, like, middle school. Yeah. So I was, like, 12. I don't want people seeing all the pictures of what I looked like when I was 12 and all the things I was tweeting about when I was 12.
Well, and I would tell you this, you know, I know that that is something that more and more, like, employers are looking at. And, like, I think about where I work, we have a residency program. I have never looked at, like, applicants for our residency program. I've never looked them up on Facebook or Twitter. But I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying there aren't professors who do, who program directors who look that kind of stuff up. They're probably out there. So, you know, be careful. If whatever's on there, you're proud to share with everybody and you're okay with them making decisions about you based on it, that's fine. But I don't know. Like, I made some questionable judgment calls in college. Mm-hmm. I don't really want them documented and put on the internet. Like, I've grown past it and I don't want to be persecuted for them forever. And so please, you know, I'm not going to post them on my social media to see, let people see for the rest of my life and judge me by.
I will say that's one thing this show has kind of helped me with, just because I have gained a few followers on Twitter and Instagram that are people that I do not know, but the people listen to the show. So they follow. I mean, that's a thing you do. You follow someone on social media if you like what they put out. And I think more about what I post, just because I'm like, I realize I am not just posting to people who I know in real life. I'm posting to people who listen to my show and see me as this person. So that I think about what I post more often. And I think, well, that's not really anything that's that important, or that's nothing that I want to share with some people that I don't necessarily know. So I'm just not going to post it.
Well, it's funny because this whole argument almost, it reminds me of a lot of the things I get about my tattoos. And maybe that's a fair parallel. It's like, anything you want to put on your skin today, are you okay with it 20 years from now? That's social media.
Like, yep. That's so true. That's right.
If you will get that Tasmanian devil today, will you want that 20 years from now? And don't, then think about it.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think about, like, now when I've done this actually for a while on social media. When I post something, I think about whether or not I'd want my patients to see it. Mm-hmm. Because they trust me to be, like, a professional and take care of them. And there are certain things that they probably would not want to see their doctor saying on the internet. And so I try to think about that and think, you know what? I don't need to say that in public. I don't need to say that on the internet. I'll gripe about that privately to my friends and family. Right. But I'm not going to say that out loud. But I would say this. If I bet there are people who don't know about this Snap Map thing.
If you have Snapchat and it updates and your apps update on their own, check that out.
Yeah.
Because you can turn it off very easily. It's in your settings. It's a thing called ghost mode. You can turn it on. And you can still see other people, which I don't necessarily like. I don't ever look at where other people are, but they can't see you.
So. No. Riley just showed me as an example of how it worked. Yeah. She's not, like, creeping on people.
Yeah.
No, but I would recommend that if you have that, have Snapchat, check that out and put yourself in ghost mode. That's really not information you want to share with everybody. That, you know, use Find My Friends if you want to share that information with select people, but not that.
And I'll let all of you know that if you've ever friended me on Snapchat because of the show, I can see where you are.
Can I also?
She's not going to do anything with that information.
They create a detailed map of her fan base. And to anybody out there in the tech community, if you can create some sort of update that makes your phone stop functioning when it's, like, below your waist or in your back pocket, there are a lot of us with very social media savvy butts that would appreciate that. So just put that in your ear. Just putting that out there.
And that's the same, parents and guardians, if you have young ones or not so young, like Riley, she's not so young,
not
who
young.
Have Snapchat, or if you don't know if they do, I would ask them.
Yeah.
I would go figure this out, because this is something that as a parent I would not want on my kid's phone.
Yeah.
So there's there.
Also, if you really want it, you can make it so only certain friends can see where you are. There's a selection to make it so you can select the few friends that you want to be able to see where you are.
There you go.
So, like, that's an option. Or just, like, turn it off. Either one.
Yeah. And put your parents on that list.
Yeah. If they're on Snapchat, like, don't, like, force your parents to get a Snapchat so they can see where your little character version of yourself is all the time.
Or your older sister.
You're not on Snapchat.
I know.
Dude, mom and dad would be so good on Snapchat. Thing.
Okay.
Get mom and dad on Snapchat. That'd be great.
No.
I can't. We can't stop it. Mom and dad on social media, that train is just rolling. They're headed there someday.
Just a dude Smurl on Twitter. He's taken over.
Whoever taught dad that he didn't need to sign off on his text messages, I'm angry at you because that was my greatest joy. How are you doing today? Love, Tommy yeah. Smurl. Those are the best messages. Oh.
The best day has come. We got him a computer, so he's going to be able to check his email at home now, so he doesn't have to drive to work to check his email.
Oh, good.
We love you, Dad. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sisters, this has been fun and informative.
Yeah.
And maybe helpful.
If you want more teen tech updates, you know, let us know.
Yeah. And if you ever have any questions... for Riley to answer about,
email us please.
Yeah. About, I mean, like, teenagers, we just,
like, I want to know all your questions about teenagers, because sometimes we've done question and answer episodes before. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just want to answer some questions every now and then, once an episode.
Yeah.
So email them please. We don't get a lot of emails.
Yes, please email us. stillbuffering@maximumfun.org. we check that email. Now all three of us have access, we can all check it. But email us if you have any questions or comments or topics or just questions for a teen.
Yeah.
I mean, not like about her personal life, like not personal questions.
Yeah.
Like just about teens, you know.
Or, you know, if you win it. I'm just...
Well, okay, that's up to your discretion.
Just don't ask her it where depends she what the is question right is. Now.
Yeah.
There you go.
Don't ask me to turn on my Snap Map because I won't. We have a resident teen expert for a reason, people.
Let's utilize her. You can tweet at us at stillbuff, and check out maximumfun.org for a lot of other wonderful podcasts, wonderful shows that we share a network with, and we're so happy to do so. And thank you all for listening, and thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby You Change Your Mind.
This has been Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I am a teenager.
And
I was two.
So this is a cutout right there. Music, good. We gotta make that. Somebody write that good horror movie about, like, how somebody's Snap Map just keeps turning on mysteriously. Ooh, idea. Star my smile.
What's the deal with Brexit? Have you seen Happy Valley yet?
How do British people pronounce Edinburgh, Leicester, or Norwich?
Not like that.
Are you tired of getting your world news from reliable sources, often with no puns or sexual innuendo?
Why was there a butcher's hat haunting Coronation Street?
What's Coronation Street, and why is Dave Holmes obsessed with it?
International Waters pairs a team of comedians in LA against a team of comedians in London in a pop culture battle royale. Join us once a fortnight to hear the best comedians in the world trade jokes and stories and maybe even learn something at the same time. International Waters with me, Dave Holmes. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.